Hi, so nice to see you all today. I'm here at Hokyoji, and the birds are singing away just outside the windows. They're my sangha this morning, along with all of you. So today, the title of my talk is Awareness of the Great Matter. The Great Matter being the matter of birth and death. So I'll start with a verse that's found on the Han. That's the wooden block that calls us to Zazen. Great is the matter of birth and death, quickly passing, gone, gone. Awake each one, awaken. Don't waste this life. Sometimes it's don't waste this precious life. This verse, I think, offers great guidance regarding the attitude to cultivate toward practice. It cuts directly to the point. We will die someday. Every one of us will die. There's no escape. Our mortality is an important backdrop for our practice. The more we hesitate and procrastinate, the closer death comes and the less time to practice, the less time to live our lives vividly and awaken. So the Han is one of the ways we mark the sitting schedule at monasteries and Zen centers, such as Minnesota Zen Center and Hokyoji. Just following the schedule is the excellent advice we got from Katagiri Roshi. When we let go of my time during practice, it loosens the bonds to me and mine, and it helps us to settle more deeply and without resistance into the practice. I found it personally so helpful becoming a parent in terms of this. After giving up my time completely in the first few years of parenting, I found it easier to do in Sesshin when I was ready to go back to doing them. What I really missed the most was Sunday mornings just drinking coffee and reading the newspaper, the New York Times. I really missed that one. Anyway, my time becomes our time in Sesshin. This is counter to the culture we live in every day. My time is touted as being essential to living an actualized life, to recharge and refresh. Individual activity is high up in the hierarchy, and it's important, don't get me wrong. I think having our time to recharge and replenish is really important. And one of the ways I do that is Zazen. And when I do Zazen with all of you, then it becomes our time. So when the Han sounds, we're reminded to let go of me and mine, to let go of what we're doing in the moment and get to the Zendo. So to get back to the verse on the Han, I read the first part. Great is the matter of birth and death with several levels of meaning. The phrase birth and death can refer to samsaric life. Samsara refers to the way we live our lives when we're living it from the standpoint of delusion and unconscious reactivity. Our lives can look like we're getting jerked around from one thing to the next or getting tossed away by changing circumstances. To realize that each moment of living is our chance to practice with what arises is the antidote to wandering in samsara. There's no other life that's somewhere out there waiting for us to live that's easier or more desirable. This is it. Birth and death can also mean our physical lives. Human beings are like snowflakes. There are innumerable ones, and every one of them is unique and non-repeatable. This is the reality of our lives. So how do I want to live this unique, non-repeatable life? Do I want to live just being jerked around, bouncing around from one circumstance to the next? How we respond to these questions is the great matter. At a more subtle level, birth and death also refers to the insight of Buddhist wisdom, which is discerning phenomena as it is. The Buddha gives this definition of wisdom in the Samyutta Nikaya. And what, monks, is the faculty of wisdom? Here, monks, the noble disciple is wise. He possesses wisdom directed to arising and passing away, which is noble and penetrative, leading to the complete destruction of suffering. This is called the faculty of wisdom. The arising and passing away refers to the arising or birth and passing away or death of dharmas, the moments of our experience. This is the reason we practice sasen, to see reality as it is, the rising and falling of our experience, its impermanence and lack of a separate self. So the Han is directing us to the cushion and to the direct experience of this Buddhist wisdom. Practice period or sesshin or retreats are how we create an opportunity to put all of these aspects of the great matter into focus. But we don't do this by ruminating about it. We do it, at least in the Soto Zen way of practice, by wholeheartedly engaging in the activity of this moment. As Dogen said, to study the self is to forget the self. Whether we're conscious of this or not at the time of practice does not matter. To get back to the verse on the Han, quickly passing, gone, gone. Our human lives pass all too quickly. In the history of our planet, 70, 80, or even 100 years is not very long. I'm noticing that the older I get, the quicker it goes. As the earth blinks an eye, my life will be gone. Our lives are fragile. It's too easy for our lives to be pinched off by accident or even natural disaster. Our circumstances are fortunate. We live in a comfortable and relatively safe part of the world. We have nice Zen centers with good teachers and really nice Sangha members, especially at MCMC. It could be different. We could live in a different part of the world, like Afghanistan or recently Palestine. Our temple could be blown up by a drone attack, and the loss of our precious human lives could be simply dismissed by some as collateral damage. All practice periods and sesshins are like an individual life. It's the group life of the Sangha, which has assembled for a period of time together. Each period is unique and non-repeatable. Our practice periods at Hokkyoji are only a few weeks long, and at Zen Center, they're several weeks long. They're about, what are they, Ted, 7 weeks or 8 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Anyway, yes. They're quickly passing, gone, gone, all too soon. The last couple of lines of the Han verse read, awake each one, awaken. Don't waste this life. Awake each one, awaken means we're responsible for our own practice and our own awakening. That's known in Zen as jiriki, self-power. Don't waste this life is the final reiteration of the most important point, that our lives will end. We can either waste our lives, our unique, non-repeatable lives, or we can exert full effort. The more effort we put into our practice, the more we'll receive from it. No one else can do it for us, and we can't participate in anyone else's awakening. The Han reminds us of our responsibility for our own effort. Yet our effort's not only our individual effort. We are practicing in Sangha. So our individual efforts create the Sangha effort, and the Sangha effort supports our own individual effort. The Sangha effort is called Shariki, or other power, except that here we are part of that other power. Dogen put it this way: many selves are peacefully dwelling within one self. The one body within the many bodies engages the way. Everyone, do you want to understand this truth? We must eat rice with the mouth of the assembly. Our vitality must be the strength of the assembly. So at this year's Hokkyoji practice period, I felt this truth, and I was always very aware that my time to be able to sit in intensive zazen with a group is limited. Two of our group were having a lot of trouble sitting, so they offered to be the tenzo because it was so painful for them to sit. I was grateful to be able to do the full practice and with no problems, and really motivated to keep doing practice periods and sesshins for as long as I'm able. So I want to shift now to talking about the five remembrances. This is where we get into the awareness of cultivating the awareness of birth and death. So the five remembrances were popularized by Thich Nhat Hanh. And they're reminders of the reality of impermanence and karma as taught in the Upajjhatana Sutta. Though they start with what's plainly bad news, contemplating the five recollections helps us accept life's inevitabilities, motivate us to practice and to practice kindness with ourselves and other beings. So I'll read them to you. I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My deeds are my closest companions. I am the beneficiary of my deeds. My deeds are the ground on which I stand. So I'd like to lead you in just a short guided meditation on these five contemplations. If you're willing, and I assume you are. So let's get comfortable, get grounded with the earth. Close your eyes or just cast them down as when you're sitting. Notice your breathing in and out. Notice any judgments about how things should be. Breathing in and out. I am of the nature to grow old. Breathing in, growing old. Breathing out, no escape. I am of the nature to have ill health. Breathing in, ill health. Breathing out, no escape. I am of the nature to die. Breathing in, nature to die. Breathing out, no escape. I am of the nature to change. Breathing in, nature to change. Breathing out, no escape. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. Breathing in, actions as the ground. Breathing out, no escape, actions as ground. So coming back and opening the eyes again. So reading or reciting these helps to cut through our basic denial. I think it's especially useful for younger people who have a harder time than elders with realizing that these things are true, because our basic denial runs very deep, and it's also in our culture. When I was practicing with the MZMC Sangha in the late 70s, I was the young person that I'm referring to. I had not experienced a lot of loss in my life yet. There was a woman in her 50s named Liz who died suddenly from a heart issue based upon an allergic reaction. Hojo-san insisted that her memorial have an open coffin. He wanted us to deeply contemplate her loss. In those first years of my practice, there were other sudden deaths and serious illnesses in the Sangha, and I was deeply affected by them. Katagiri used them to help us realize impermanence. Think of the times in your life when you were shocked at being human, when you suddenly knew that people die and that by extension, that could happen to you. I'd like to hear your stories about that. Maybe you'll tell them later. For me, that came at age 10 with the Fridley tornado of 1965. At that time, barely escaping death, losing everything we had, I had a big insight into the possibility of death at any time or any age. I would say there was still some denial there, but it was a shock. It was a sufficient shock. It made me contemplate death. One minute we were surrounded by our things in our cozy home, and the next minute it seemed, only a minute, everything was sticks and debris all around us. So something about our consciousness as humans, though, makes it hard for us to accept we'll be sick, we'll age, and we'll die without some sudden or prolonged experience of it. When we see how the aged and the dying are viewed and treated in our society, we can't help sometimes fearing the isolation and dependency implied in those states. Many people say they don't fear death, but they rather fear pain at the end of life. But I do think that the fear of death runs deep in all of us, as does the denial of it. Studying the great matter of birth and death is to understand that birth is birth, complete in itself. Death is death, complete in itself. It's a deep and subtle teaching to surrender oneself completely into birth and death, the arising and extinction of our form, birth and death arising and falling away endlessly. That's what we see when we're doing Zazen. We see the rising and the falling of the breath, of our thoughts and our feelings. It's great practice for the great matter. So here's a poem by the nun and Chinese master Fai Wan. This body without a self can be compared to floating duckweed. This body with its troubles is exactly like a leaf in the wind. This cycle of life and death is just like night and day. So each night we die into sleep, and each morning we're reborn into life. And we bring life to our life when we practice in the morning. So this poem's message reminds me of the Shuso, the koan I received for my Shuso ceremony, which is a ceremony on your way in your priest practice. Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. So Master Ma has been unwell for some time. The monastery administrator goes to him to see him and asks after his health. Ma says to him, "It's just like this. Sometimes I'm sun-faced Buddha, and sometimes I'm moon-faced Buddha." Sun-faced Buddha lasts for a very long time, eons. Moonface Buddha lasts for just one night. It's a pithy way of expressing his realization of both the undying and the dying as part of our experience, timelessness and time. Birth and death includes the realization of both the undying and the impermanent. Nirvana is the embodiment of the timeless. Ordinary consciousness includes death or cessation. The Heart Sutra also includes the denial of old age and death, but also the denial of the extinction of old age and death. So it leaves us nowhere to stand. In other words, just here, right now, in the present moment, is our only place to stand. And here's a quote from Katagiri from Returning to Silence. We don't know when life will fade away. We should remember this. When we think of life simultaneously, we should know that life is fading away. It's a dangerous situation. It's difficult to stand up in this situation. But even though we cannot stand up there, we cannot despair because there are no exceptions. Look at yourself. You are fading away from moment to moment. You are marching to the grave. You may not accept this, but it's true. And this is why life is beautiful. The China bowl is beautiful because sooner or later it will break. The life of the bowl is always existing in a dangerous situation. That's an interesting way to see it, isn't it? That life is a dangerous situation because it could end at any moment. So this is, to me, one of the ways to contemplate our own death in a consoling way, rather than with terror or existential dread. Our lives are beautiful because they're limited. Zen practice helps me to see this. It helps me to see the beauty all around me. Combining the five realizations with Sazen is a way we can contemplate birth and death. In Zazen, we see the birth of a thought and the passing away of that thought. We see how our dreams and intensive practice bring up our fears so that we can see them clearly in the light of day. Suzuki Roshi said, "We should be very grateful to have a limited body, like mine or yours. If you had a limitless life, that would be a real problem for you." Whatever can help us to truly appreciate this life and live in gratitude is a worthy use of our time. Gratitude is available to all of us, and it's one of the easiest practices to start with, but shouldn't be relegated to the superficial. There are reasons in every direction to be grateful. Sojourn Mel Weitzman said this about impermanence, and I really like this. We would like to be free from impermanence, but to be free from impermanence is to totally go with impermanence. Liberation from trying to preserve something which cannot be preserved is called freedom. Being attached to something which is not permanent is called suffering. So we all have the opportunity of daily and hourly and moment to moment to practice with birth and death. It is the reality of our lives. So it's not something that we need to fear, but something we should look at directly. When we look at it directly, we go with it. And to go with it is to be free from suffering and appreciate our lives, which are unique, beautiful, and rare. Practicing kindness naturally follows when we're steeped in the understanding of suffering, no self, and impermanence. Suzuki Roshi was asked by a student, "What's the most important thing in Zen?" Suzuki responded, "To know what is the most important thing is the most important thing." So thank you for listening today to my little sermon. on life and death.